to your neighbor and ask him, what's your mission? Amen. You may be seated. The title of this message is The Church We Are to Be. The Church We Are to Be. Not the church we want to be, because that's not my goal. I want us to be the church we are to be. Not the church we hope to be, but the church we are to be. Amen. And that's the title of my message as we kick off 2025. There's going to be many, many challenges. There's going to be many things to come your way. But if we will put, as we sang that very first song, let Jesus be the center of our life. So I want to ask you the question, what kind of church does Jesus want? I know the kind of church I want, and he hasn't given me that. Amen. You know, I want a church that's all full of rich people. Amen. I wouldn't have to do much. Just come here and show up. But that's not the church he's given me. What kind of church, though, does Jesus want? Amen. Well, I'm going to answer that biblically. I'm not going to give you my answer. I'm going to read from the scriptures. What kind of church does Jesus want? And we have some examples in scripture, starting from Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans or Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And what I'm starting out is with the church that he does not want. He says, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, that's not my words. That's Jesus' words. Amen? So we know the kind of church he does not want. He doesn't want a lukewarm church. He doesn't want uncommitted people. He wants full investment. He wants people that are 100%. 99% and a half won't do, as the song says. Jesus wants all of you or none of you. If you're 50%, that will not do. I'm going to be a bit tough this service, because it's not my words. If it was up to me, I told you what kind of church I would want. It would be the wrong kind of church. Be the church where I just don't do nothing. Everything is taken care of. I have everybody do everything for me. I have someone carry my briefcase in. I have someone fanning me, bringing me all kinds of stuff. But that's not what Jesus wants. He wants a church that's on fire for him. He wants a church that has a mission. He wants people who are committed, people who are dedicated, people who have only one goal, to please him. I taught in Sunday school, and I taught quite a bit of what I'm going to say, but I'm going to repeat it. In this month, we need to take the time to get a mission this year. We can't keep drifting along and just come to church and sit on a pew. My old pastor said, like a bump on a log. But we have to be workers in God's kingdom. What kind of church does Jesus want? Well, he doesn't want the lukewarm church. He doesn't want the cold type of church. He doesn't want the medium type of church. He wants the hot kind of church. I like really hot showers. I get it so it's almost trying to burn me before I'm satisfied. I don't like lukewarm showers. I don't like cold showers. Jesus wants you to be hot today. And I'm going to try and encourage you and the leadership team of this church. We're all on one accord that we are going to try and make sure that this church is known as a church that Jesus loves. Amen. That Jesus wants, that he can inhabit. Amen. So what kind of church does Jesus want? Well, in the Bible, there are many, many churches that are spoken about in the New Testament. Well over 14 or 15 churches are mentioned, but only 7 of them get commendation. So I'm going to give you the word. I'm not going to give you my thoughts. I'm going to give you what the word says about the kind of church Jesus wants. Sometimes it was by Paul. Sometimes it was by Jesus himself. To the Ephesians church, he said this, that he might present to himself a glorious church. He wants a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. Let me say it again, that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the kind of church he wants. That's the kind of church we ought to be. That's the kind of church in 2025 we're going to strive to be. That is what we're going to aim for in this church. So how does that happen? How do we become a glorious church, not just a half mediocre church, just a country club where we come and we dress up on Sundays and see each other, or we have social events, but a church that's on fire for God? How does that happen? How do we become a church without spot and wrinkle and blemish? Well, Ephesians also tells us that. That he might sanctify, that means separate and cleanse it with the washing of water. How? What does it say? By the word. So you know what that means? I've got to preach the word. I have got to make sure that all of our pastors are preaching the word, because that's the only way it'll remove the spots, the blemishes, the wrinkles. It says it's with the washing of the word, by the word. You know what that means? It means that we're commanded to preach the word. It's not an option to preach God's grace and his love. But guess what? We're also commanded, but also to call sin, sin. Let me say it again, to call sin, sin. Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness, this is what he's going on to say, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. If we want to be a spotless church without blemish, we got to preach the word. It's by the washing of the word. Neither filthiness, no gossiping. We think only there's only one sin. There's more than one sin. No gossip, no foolish talking, no cursing out there and then come in here. Right? No filthiness, no jesting, which are not convenient. But rather, what we're supposed to do? What does it say? Come on, you can all read. This is how we're going to get a church without spot and wrinkle. We're going to preach the word without form or favor. We're going to call sin, sin. Yes, we preach God's love, his grace, but we also got to preach the other things too. I told the Sunday school, God's dinner table is not a buffet. You don't get to pick and choose which scriptures you like, but we have to preach the whole word of God. So this is how we're going to make sure that our church is without spot or wrinkle, the glorious church that he's coming for. I want to be able to stand before God and said, I held nothing back, God. I told him everything that you ever gave me. I want to be able to stand before him with a clear conscience that I did all my very best. That's what I am challenged to do in 2025. For this he know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. We have got to separate ourselves from the world. I told the Sunday school that when we were up at the midwinter conference, one of the things that stuck out to me that the preacher said, you can't make a difference unless you are different. You can't be the same as the world and make a difference to the world. That will not work. You have to stick out. You have to be different. Your life has to be consecrated. Your walk has to be consecrated. Getting too silent on me. But all I'm doing is preaching the washing of the word. Again, what kind of church does Jesus want? I told you the kind of church I want. I would like to be a lazy pastor, you know, have to do nothing. Nobody call me. Everybody got their problems solved. But that's not what Jesus truly called me to be or do. Let's read it again. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That means you're not going to be going to the wedding with your garment spotted. And the only way you're going to get it clean is for me and the pastors and the leadership to preach the word. Because it's the washing of the word. Right now you're being washed. You're just at the church laundry today. You didn't know it. But that it should be holy and without blemish. When I'm going out, my wife looks at me and she starts picking stuff off. You did what? She did that yesterday. We were going somewhere. She said, wait a minute. Look at that. You can't wear that. She is doing a great job. She's making sure I'm without wrinkle, without spot, and without blemish. The question is, a lot of people don't want the word to wash them. Will you let the word wash you? You're going to get mad at me? You're going to get mad at me? Now, my pastor publicly challenged me from the pulpit. Did I get mad and say, I'm never coming back to that church? No, I let him wash me. Amen. Even though I didn't think he was right, I took it. Years later, he came back and he apologized to me. Next time he comes, you ask him about that. That's why he can come here and he can preach to me anytime. Will you let the word wash you? Some people not. Will you let the word wash you in 2025? See, if you won't let the word wash you, it's because of pride. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. And with the lowly is wisdom. When you humble yourself, you will let God wash you. Then you can be part of the bride that is spotless, without wrinkle, and without blemish. If you have pride, it's one of the worst sins. It's worse, I think, than almost anything else. It was the sin that caught Satan. He said, I will be like the Most High. It wasn't adultery or fornication, just being proud. That was the trouble with Saul, King Saul, why he couldn't be forgiven. Here's what Samuel said about Saul. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's as bad as witchcraft when you won't humble yourself and take correction. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being. What a sad ending to such a great start. The question is, in 2025, will you let the word that is preached from this pulpit wash you? Because we're not intending to preach grace and love every service. We're going to be preaching some sin is sin messages. We're going to give you the whole buffet. You won't be able to pick and choose. I want to lay out for you some of the churches that have some good things said about them. Because, as my title said, this is the church we are to be. Seven churches in the New Testament were commended. Those are the churches we ought to be. That's what we are striving for in 2025. The first church was the Church of Thessalonica. And God blessed us in November to go to actually to the very place. The commendation from Paul for the Thessalonica church was that their faith, the labor of love, and the patience. They had these three things that he commended. Their faith, their trust in God, their labor of love. They were hard workers in the kingdom. And of course, their patience, because they waited upon the Lord. Sometimes you may work and you don't see anything change, but they had patience. We ought to be a church which have faith, which we labor with love, and that we have patience. They had witnessing. They were a missionary-minded church. They had a mission. That's 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Here's what Paul said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. I want somebody to be able to write about Rehoboth, remembering your work of faith and your labor of love and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. That's what Paul was able to write about the Thessalonian church. He also wrote this in verse 6, and he became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Yet they had joy. Yet they worshiped. Yet they were a church that loved God. That's the kind of church we ought to be. We are to be in 2025. Amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, get a mission. Amen. Amen. We're all going to get a mission in 2025. So that you were examples. Paul said that the church in Thessalonica was an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Their story went out. People heard about this church that had love, that had faith, that had hope. Amen. I want people to know in Milwaukee that Rehoboth is a church that believes in faith, that we have love, and that we have hope. This is the church we ought to be. And they were missionary-minded. Verse 8 is, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. They didn't just come into their four walls and have church. But from that church went out, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but to in every place. Every place your faith to God word is spread abroad. So he said, listen, I don't need to send any correction to you. I'm pleased with how you, Church of Thessalonica, is doing. That's the church we ought to be. That's where we're aiming for in 2025. The next church he gave a commendation to was the Church of Philippi, and God blessed us to actually visit that city too. We saw the prison where Paul was entombed, and their commendation was also their giving and spreading the gospel. We need to be a church. I hate talking about giving, but I have to talk about giving. The commendation for the Philippi church was that they gave. Let's read it. Philippians 1:3. Every time, and I put this in a modern translation so you really get what Paul is saying. Every time I think of you. That means every time he thought about the Philippi church, he was thinking of their giving, of how they blessed him. I give thanks to my God whenever I pray. I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners. Although they couldn't go with Paul, they were his partners. How? In their giving, in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Let's read on. He says in verse chapter 4, for I know how to live. He's speaking, listen, I have learned how to go hungry. This is the great Apostle Paul. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty. So when you have an empty stomach, you're just in good company with the great Apostle Paul. If you're going through hardship and need, you're in good company with the great Apostle Paul. It doesn't mean God hates you or anything like that. It just means you are suffering for Christ. He says, I've learned to be happy with little or with plenty. For I can do everything, or in the King James it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. This is the church we are to be. The all things through Christ that strengthens us kind of church. But he gives them a compliment. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. You mean Paul had difficulties? The great Apostle Paul who raised dead had difficulties? He had problems too? Of course he did. All who are going to be Christians are going to have to suffer some tribulations. Let's go to verse 15. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help. He commended this church because of their giving. In 2025, at the end of this month, we're going to be launching our pledges again. And it's not for me. None of it comes to me. I tell you that right now. He says, Paul says, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. He says, no other church did this. That's amazing. But you want us to be the kind of church that is known for giving. Amen. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. This church didn't do it just one time, but they repeatedly were a church that supported the missions. And we do. We give to several missionaries right now. But I also want you to be sacrificial in 2025. This church does need some repairs. There's some things that we need to fix. When you came in that door, it was cold, wasn't it? You know why? Because that radiator needs replacing. That's several hundred, maybe a couple thousand dollars to replace that. Now, I'm not just saying that because we harp on money. We don't. We take one offering all week, and we give out thousands to various ones who are in need. But I'm just telling you what the kind of church we ought to be, right? I am giving you the word as it's in Scripture. Paul here is commending the Philippian church because they were givers. He says, even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. And he says, I'm not saying this because I want anything from you. Look what it says, verse 70. I don't want to say this because I want a gift from you. The reason why he's saying this is because I want you to receive a reward. When you give, the Bible says it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together. See, Paul was really commending them for their giving because in the end it was going to be a blessing back to them. That was the church of Philippi, known for being a giving church, for helping in ministry and the gospel. I'm asking you in 2025, Rehoboth, to set aside extra above and beyond your tithes and offering to give so that we can do some things in this church, in this ministry. Amen. Not for me, but for the kingdom of God. The church we are to be is like the church of Smyrna. Their commendation was for faithfulness despite opposition, despite being persecuted, and in fact, being put in prison. We haven't yet suffered. We call it suffering when someone gives us a mean mug or looks at us funny or doesn't shake our hand. Pastor forgot to shake my hand. If I did, please forgive me. It was not intentional. Amen. Revelation 2:9, it says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. See, people are going to speak bad about you. They're going to say all kinds of things about your church maybe too. He said, Jesus says, listen, don't listen to them. They're of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. You are going to do some suffering. Every child of God has got to go through some suffering. But you know what David said? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that he may be tried, and he shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, I'm going to give you a crown of life. The church that we are to be is like the church of Smyrna. Faithful in persecution. Faithful in trouble. Faithful when we're under affliction. Still worshiping. Still coming to church. Still giving God thanks. The church we ought to be is like the church of Philadelphia. And everyone knows this one, right? Their faithfulness and obedience. A lot of people want to obey, but they don't want to obey the pastor. Well, that's part of the word too. Let me just tell you that. That's part of the word too. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. That's what we want in 2025, an open door that no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. The Philadelphia church had the same problem, people speaking bad against them, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. See, the very people who are speaking against you, God will make them come. God will make them come back right to your feet. All your accusers. You know that woman? Jesus said, where is thine accusers? They're all gone. They're all gone. That's what the power of Jesus can do when we truly repent, when we truly come to him in faith, when we truly be the church that we ought to be. Amen. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Sometimes you have to wait upon the Lord. I've had that. He's taught me to wait. I've told you my testimony. I'm not going to take up the time again. Sometimes you have to wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, he shall, not maybe, could be, if, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. You got to learn some patience, church. Got to be like Elijah. He prayed for rain, no rain. Go check it again. Pray again. 7 times. That's what you call an earnest prayer. It don't happen right away. You go back, pray again. You pray till you get an answer. Maybe the answer is no, but until you get an answer, you pray again. Turn to your neighbor saying, I'm going to have a mission. Now, I hope you're not just saying that. I hope you mean that, because if you want long life and God's blessing, you have to have a mission. Next to the last, the church of Ephesus, their commendation was that they had hard work. They were persevering people, and they opposed false teaching. You got to be careful these days. There's so many people teaching all kinds of stuff. You know, you need to eat from the right table. Don't go around to everybody's table picking up scraps. It may not be good for you. Find the table where you trust the cook. Too many of you go eat from all kinds of tables. And then you come back to me all confused. Pastor, what does this mean? This person said that. Stop eating from the wrong tables. Choose a church and go to it. That's all you have to do. If this is not your table, find a table. But stay at that table. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them, and they say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them lies. There's so many people on TV preaching, but they're not giving you good food. They're giving you opinion, and they're giving you their thoughts. The church of Ephesus was commended by able to know what is truth and what is fake. That's the term that's going around, fake. Everything is fake. But I tell you what, the word of God stands forever. And not one jot nor one tittle shall be removed till everything is fulfilled. Verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience. For my name's sake thou hast labored. This church was a working church. They understood the assignment. Do you understand the assignment? Do you understand the assignment? All right, you're going to get a mission. You've seen some posters around there, and it has, what's your mission? I'm going to be asking you all, what's your mission? At the end of this month, we want everyone who calls themselves a member to write their name and put more than one mission. Because everybody's mission is to be a disciple. That's a no-brainer. We want you to make yourself accountable. We want you to write down something that you are going to pledge to God in 2025 that you're going to do. I want you all to have a mission. Okay, so the church at Berea, their commendation was their eagerness to study and verify Scripture. Paul had to commend them. They didn't just take what these TV evangelists said. They didn't just listen to this one on this YouTube channel and then, oh yeah, that's right. What did the Bible say they did? Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness. Then they went and checked the pastor. That's fine. I want you to check me. I want you to go and see if what I'm quoting is the right way. And examine the scriptures on Sundays, once a month, every day. Is that something you can commit to? Can we commit in 2025 to at least reading something from the Bible? Is that such a hard thing to do? Examine the scriptures every day. You need a word every day. Did you know that? You don't go a day without eating normally, do you? You put some food in every day. You prepare that. You make sure you go shopping so that it's there. You need to prepare a word every day. Just like you cook for yourself and breakfast and lunch and dinner and whatever. You need a word prepared fresh every day. New every day, it says in Lamentations. You got to get a mission. We all have to have a mission. The church at Colossae, what was their commendation? It was their faith and love. We give thanks to God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard, Paul heard about this church's faith, of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have for all the... I want us to be known for a church of faith and love. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is to all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the days we heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. The last church that was commended was the church at Rome. And it was a very simple commendation. It was just one thing, and it was their faith. Romans 1:8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. This was the church where Christians were being burnt alive. We're being put into coliseums and having wild animals tear them apart. The only way you could do that is if you absolutely believed. That's the only way you could go and stay in this coliseum and they're going to release some wild tigers and lions to come and tear you apart. You had to have faith. You had to trust that even if you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. This is the church we are to be in 2025. This is the church we are to be. A church of faith, a church of giving, a church where of witness and declaration of the gospel, a church of perseverance and faithfulness in persecution, a church of obedience to the word and godly leadership. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The moment you don't think I'm following Christ, you're free. Do whatever you want. But as long as you have confidence in your leadership, the Bible says you are to follow the teaching. Is that word or not? Now you guys are too quiet. Is that word or not? Okay. The church that was commended for their obedience. A church of study and the love of God's word. That's the kind of church we are to be in 2025. The kind of church that we have to be will only happen when we all get a mission. It's not going to be on me alone in 2025. I'm challenging each and every one of you to find something. Paul says the church is like a body, right? Maybe you're the toe. Have you ever had an ingrown toenail? Man, you realize how important that toe is. I will cherish you. I will protect that toe. I will drag it behind me so that nobody steps on it. I'll protect that toe. Now, you may feel you're only the toe, but you're important. If you start to hurt, the body's going to know it. But we need to get plugged into the body. We need to be part of the body. We need a mission to pray and fast. Somebody needs to take that mission to pray and fast on a systematic pace. I don't mean like once this year and then wait till next year. I'm saying on a systematic basis. Someone has to have a mission to pray and fast. A mission to be a witness. A mission to take some cards and say to someone, do you know Christ? Do you know that God loves you? Someone has to have that mission in Milwaukee. There is over a million people that don't go to church in this city. They're all going to be lost. If Jesus was here, he would ask us, do you care about these things more than me? That's what he was asking Peter. Do you care about these fish? I did send you to come and meet me in Galilee, but I didn't tell you to go back fishing. Do you love these things more than me? That's the answer for truth. Some of us love things more than we love Christ. We have to have a mission to win souls. Can you let a whole week go by and not invite one person? What kind of mission is that? A mission to seek God's will for every choice in our lives. We need to get a mission. A mission to keep our garments unspotted. You know, we are going to fail. But when we do, let's be humble about it. Let's come running to a throne of grace where we can get mercy, where we can ask for God's forgiveness. If we do that, I don't believe there's an example in Scripture where someone truly repented, I'm not talking Saul, but truly repented that they didn't get forgiveness when they actually touched Jesus. The woman caught in the very act. There was no doubt whether she was guilty. But Jesus refused to condemn her. Amen. He said, I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. We need to get a mission, a personal mission, to make sure that our garments are unspotted. Jesus is coming. And he's coming back for a church without spot and wrinkle and without blemish. It's going to be a sad day for a lot of people who have come to church all their lives the day after the rapture and realize that they missed it. I can't think of anything worse, because you will know. Not like the way they won't know. They'll just, some news story, millions of people disappeared, and most people say, oh, it's fake. Can you see the devil is setting it up for the unbelief that will happen? Don't know if you can see, but I can see now. Everything is fake. You say the sea is wet, they say it's fake. That's where this world is going. We need a mission to teach Bible studies. You need to understand that if you're a disciple, you need to disciple. In the Sunday school, we taught this, be one, make one. We need to get a mission, church. A mission for Sunday school. Who is going to teach these little kids so that they can go to school and understand and make choices, understand what they're being taught is not what the Bible says? Who has a commitment for these little children? You need to get a mission. A mission to drive the church bus. I've had lots of volunteers. That's good. I just threw that one in to just give you an example. Amen. But we need to find a mission. We need to find a mission. A mission to give. Pledge in your heart that you're going to give not to me, but to God. And you can't outdo God. I have never outdid God. Never. He has blessed me multiple times. I don't want to say it because it sounds like I'm boasting, and I don't want to boast. But I will boast in his mercy. I think he's been the most merciful to me. I don't know about you. He's been so merciful to me. So let's stand. You notice I put an S on it this time. What's your missions? The Bible said when Jesus arose, he gave gifts. Shall I say it again? He gave gifts. You know what that means? Multiple. 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 You can't have really one mission. You're not really doing your job if you have one mission. I have a whole lot more, but I'll try and paraphrase it. Jesus told the story of the talents, right? You all know that story. One got five, one got two, one got one. And the one who got one went and buried it. And the reason why, he was afraid. Now, the Bible doesn't explicitly say what that talent was, but I've made a case for it that it was grace. The first gift we are given by God, each of us, is grace. What does that mean? For you to go bury God's grace. If you understand the story in those terms, you can understand why when the king came back and asked him, what have you done? I buried your grace. I was afraid I would lose it, so I buried it. You can understand why the king then was so mad and said, okay. take it from him. God has given every single person grace. I'm going to skip through this because I told you I had a lot more. I just want to go to this story. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. No one didn't get nothing. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5. Likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. I believe that God gives all of us grace. The Bible tells us. I'm going to skip all of this because I want you to see Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace. Are you the one that's hiding it? That's covering it up? Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, everyone, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's why God was so mad with him, because when we're given grace, when we're forgiven, you know what we're supposed to do? Give it to someone else. Go multiply it. My question is, what is your missions? End of this month, the last service of this month, we're going to hand out cards. I want you to write your name. I want you to be accountable to yourself. And I want you to write down whatever mission. You see the posters? Some of them will come down. We'll put up some more. I want you to choose a mission and then faithfully, don't just do it for January like most people do their New Year's promises, but be faithful in your mission. If you do that, it's not about growing the church. I don't care if you win somebody to go to another church, as long as you do. It's God's kingdom. It's not my church. It's his church, universal. It doesn't matter if they've come to this, but you need to have a mission. You need to become a true disciple. You need to stop going back to the fishes. Because he's asking today, lovest thou me more than these? And we all say, oh yes, I love you. We'll all come down and bawl and cry and do it again next Sunday. He had to repeat the miracle of the fishes to make it drive home to Peter. This is not what I called you to do. Yeah, I can multiply fishes every time. I can make that happen every day. But is this what you really love, Peter? God is calling us this year to have a mission. You know why? Because he's coming back. There's a scripture that says that we must all appear, all of us, before the judgment seat of Christ. This is Christians now. This is not a judgment of hell. But this is to give an account. God is going to say, okay, I gave you grace and I gave you the talent to encourage people. What did you do with it? Maybe he's given you 5 gifts. Maybe you're a soul winner. You can do all kinds of things. You can clean the church. You can encourage people. What did you do with it? I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I don't want him to say, you no good. You knew that I'd given you grace. You knew you had been forgiven. You knew how many times I pulled you out of trouble. The times when the doctor said, we don't know what to do. The times when you had your last dime and something came through. You know how many times I showed you grace. And what did you do with it? Nothing. So I'm challenging you, church. I'm challenging me. This year, let us work like Jesus is coming this year. For the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things done in this body. Last thing I'm going to say, the Bible promises to bless the work of our hands. You know what that means? You got to have some work. He'll bless what we do. He's not going to bless what we don't do. Closing this service. If you want to come and pray, that's fine. If you want to stay there and pray. But we need to be the church that has the commendation. Not that we are looking down on any other church. I'm not pastor of any other church. I'm only pastor of this church. I can only speak for this church. I don't know what other churches are doing. But I want to be able to stand before God and say, Lord, I did my best. I told them your word. My conscience is clear. That's what I want to be. I want each and every one of you to be able to do the same thing. Lord, we did our best. We are the Philadelphian church. We're the church of Smyrna. We're the church of Colossae. We're the church of Philippi. We're the Berean church. That's what we want to be, the church we ought to be. We're closing this service. Amen. And I encourage you to think during the next few weeks about getting a mission. No matter how old you are, how young you are, there is something you can do for Christ. They had no food, but they found a little boy. Now, I believe he voluntarily gave up his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He could have said, no, this is mine. It's not even enough for me. This little boy did a work and got a mission. And because of him, 5,000 men got fed. Imagine if 5,000 people somehow through one thing you do in Milwaukee could change their lives. Amen. I really am done. We're going to pray. This altar is open. But church, it's not a sad message. This is an encouraging message. This is a challenge to you in 2025. To work for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, as we pledge ourselves in this first Sunday, Lord God, to get a mission for you. Lord God, to do all we can to be found pleasing in your sight. Lord, to have our garments unspotted without spot or wrinkle. Lord, I pray, Lord God, let your Holy Spirit minister to us. Cover us, Lord. Help us, Lord. In our flesh, we can't do this, Lord. It's too much for us to do. But Lord, nothing is impossible for you. Lord, help us, Lord God, to separate ourselves from things, Lord God, that profane and drag us down. Help us to dedicate ourselves, Lord God, into your service. Lord, help us to put down the fishes, Lord God. Lord Jesus, use us powerfully, each and every one of us. Help us to be your disciples, Lord God. Help us in our worship. Help us in our sonship. Help us in our fellowship, Lord. I pray you use us, Lord, for giftings of miracles, of healings, oh God, of wisdom, Lord God. Hallelujah. Of prayer, of fasting, Lord, of encouragement, Lord Jesus. Let your fivefold ministry, Lord God, be manifest in this church. Lord, as we each get a mission. Lord, we just thank you for taking us through 2024. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you have promised to do in 2025, to take us to another level. We give you all of the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. Come on, church. I just want you to spend 2 minutes. Now, I want you to make your own prayer right now. You start praying. Open your mouth to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you start to pray and ask God to use you and to bless you and to deliver you in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Let's do it. Hallelujah.